I'd ask you if you have a Bible to get it, and let's go to the book of Psalms. And when you get to Psalms, I want you to find Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And I want you to find, if you will, the very last verse of Psalm 119. If you would like to stand, you can do so. And we're going to read just a verse tonight, and then I'll pray and let you be seated. You don't have to stand, but if you'd like to, that's fine. Psalm 119, verse number 176. If you are there in your Bible, say amen. The psalmist said, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Notice these three words, seek thy servant. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Father, I pray tonight that you would touch our heart. I pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and our minds, that we would have a receptive spirit to the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would give us spiritual eyes to see. God, give us spiritual ears to hear. And Lord, may it go beyond our head and may it find lodging in our heart. And may the Word of God change us tonight. Give us liberty that is not our own. Give us power that we cannot lay claim to. And God, help us to preach. And I'll praise you for that. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Psalm 119, though it is not a chapter, it is the longest piece of continuous scripture in your Bible. And you can thank me on your way out that we only read one verse. Amen. 176 verses of Holy Ghost inspired scripture. I believe tonight that it is notable that the author of Psalm 119 has been used by God to be the penman of the Word of God for 176 verses. He has been used by God, divinely moved upon. He is the pen in the hand of God. God has put into his heart. And what God has put into his heart, he has put down on paper. He has put quill to parchment. And he has written the holy, inspired Word of God. He comes to the end of the longest piece of scripture in the Bible, and he makes a very startling confession. He does not say, I am closer to the Lord than I've ever been. He does not say, I'm more on fire right now than I've been in a long time. But after writing 176 verses of scripture, he says, shockingly so, he says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. That is startling to me tonight. And I'm just going to be honest. You can holler amen if you want to. I would feel spiritual if I read 176 verses of Scripture. I would come out saying, praise God, I'm closer than I've ever been. But this man did not read 176 verses. By the help of God, he wrote 176 verses. You would think that he's closer than he's ever been. You would think that the fire is burning hotter than it ever has. But he says, I have gone astray. I'm going to make a statement tonight, and I'd appreciate a big amen. It is very possible to be in the work of God and go astray. As a matter of fact, it is very possible to be involved in worship and in the process go astray. This is a man that was not carnal. This is not some lukewarm believer. This is not a man in love with the things of this world. He has written 176 verses, and as best I know, all of them but maybe two have a direct reference to the Word of God. He loves the Word of God, but yet he confesses, I have gone astray. I think tonight that if it is possible for him to have gone astray, we ought to look at our own heart and realize that it is very possible that you and I, though in the work of God, even though we may be in the Word of God, it is possible for us to go astray. He says, I have. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't really know altogether what that statement means in the context of his own life. Brother Evans, I thought he may be like me. And I have noticed that the closer I get to the Lord, the further away I realize I really am. He may be closer than he's ever been, but in this closeness, he realizes how far short he has actually fallen. Well, I need some help right there. The closer I get to him, the further away I realize I really am. And that may be the case, I don't know, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take his word for it. He said he's gone astray, I'm just going to take his word for it. He says, I have gone astray, now watch this, like a lost sheep. I want to say tonight that even though, hallelujah, even though he is not where he ought to be, he is still a sheep. He may not be in the fold, but he still belongs to the shepherd. He may have gotten on the outskirts of the pasture, but thank God he's still part of the flock. And I want to say tonight, thank God that I know I have a chief shepherd who is a good shepherd. And he knows his sheep. And even when they wander from where they ought to be, they're still his and he is still theirs. And I like that. He said, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. The indication here is that he did not intentionally get out of the fellowship of the flock. He said, I've gone astray. Astray, it means that he wandered. And he did not intend to get lost, but yet there he is in a place where he does not know where he is, let alone where he is supposed to be. I think that has the idea of just wondering what was over the hill, and then wondering what's past the tree line, and then what could be down in that valley. By the time the sheep looks around, he recognizes that he is lost. And he does not know where he is, let alone where he is supposed to be. And he certainly does not know the trail that connects the two. Can I ask y'all a question tonight? Have you ever gotten into something? Oh, I need some honesty up in here tonight. Have you ever gotten into something that you did not intend to get into, but yet there you were right in the middle of it? Anybody? Anybody? I have a confession tonight. I was preaching some years ago. And I had been out in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, preaching at an all-week revival. I was catching a flight out of Baton Rouge early on a Saturday morning. And I was flying into Jacksonville, Florida. And just there in South Georgia, right above the state line, was a large meeting that I was going to be preaching in. And the only flight that I could get from Baton Rouge to Jacksonville was one of those early, I'm talking about 5 a.m. flights out. And so I booked it. That morning I got up. You know, you have to get up so early to get there and get through security. And you'll just have to forgive me. I don't always wear a suit and a tie. Can I get an amen right there? And I got up that morning and I was not feeling like a suit and tie kind of day. I put on a pair of blue jeans that looked like they had been run over by a lawnmower. Anybody got something like that? I grabbed a t-shirt that looked like it had the oil changed in 3,000 miles. And I was just comfortable. I put on my hat and I went to the airport and got on that plane. We landed. It was still dark when we touched down in Jacksonville. The fellas that picked me up, I was just wanting to get to the conference area, the retreat, and I just wanted to go back to sleep and get some rest. And when they picked me up, one of them said, "This is great." He said, "We're going to get there in time for morning service." I thought, yeah, this is great. Wonderful. We got to the conference and pulled up and they was already starting the service and I didn't have time to go change. We just slipped in the back of that auditorium and it was a large building, several thousand people there. I thought I'll just slip in, sit down and enjoy the service and then I'll be able to go get me a nap and rest up for tonight. I came in, we sat in the back of that big auditorium and they had those real soft theater chairs that fold down and up. They go with you. You know what I mean? We sang a little while and finally they let us be seated. And they called on the preacher that morning. I want you to listen to me. I love preaching. I really do. I listen to preaching every day, several times a day. I love preaching. I love loud preaching. I love soft preaching. I love hacking preaching. I love intelligent preaching. I love education. I mean, I like all preaching. I just like preaching. If it's in the Word of God, I like it. So I said that to say this. They had a fellow preaching that morning, and bless his heart, he didn't act like he believed it, and we didn't believe it neither. That's the only way I know to say it. He just kind of, in a monotone, you know, just worked through some things and just on and on and just real soft spoken. There's nothing wrong with that, and I was tired. But it just, you know, it was just tough. It was one of them mornings. It was just tough. And I sat there and I tried to stay involved. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. I tried to stay in plugged in and helping him. Then finally, after about 45 minutes, he said those words that I had so longed to hear. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And friend, I laid my head on that chair in front of me. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm not justifying it. I'm just telling you it happened. When I laid my head on that chair in front of me, the Sandman came by with a right hook and knocked me into the sweet by and by. I'm talking about, have y'all seen that Lunesta commercial where that butterfly comes by and puts people asleep? I saw that butterfly. He had a 3-day growth, a tattoo, and was carrying a baseball bat. And he knocked me in the outfield. I'm telling you, I was gone. Out, I didn't say it's right, I'm just saying it happened. I was gone. I mean dead to the world. Had that red dot on my head and everything. And all at once, this little squeaky, mealy mouth preacher that couldn't get above a monotone says to the top of his lungs, "Stand up!" And I did. And I looked around that auditorium of about 3,000 people. and me and two others were the only ones standing. And then he said, if you're standing, don't deny Christ. Come get saved this morning. And I'll be honest, in them blue jeans and that shirt that needed the oil change, I look like a pretty good candidate. Well, what are you going to do? I took off down the aisle. I'm telling you the truth. This fella came and met me with a Bible. He said, did you come to get saved? I said, no, sir. I'm already saved. I just came because I didn't want to deny Christ. And I went back to my seat. Now listen, you ought to have seen them folks that night when they showed up and I was the keynote speaker of the whole thing. Praise God, you talk about sanctification. Amen. Got saved this morning, preaching tonight. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, I need some help right here. There are times when we get into stuff we didn't mean to get into. And we don't know how we got there. And we sure don't know how to get where we're supposed to be. You ever lost your keys or lost your wallet? And you're running around the house frantically. You're looking and you're digging through the couch cushions and looking under the bed. And somebody will say, what are you doing? I lost my keys. I lost my wallet. And how many of you live with a genius who will look at you and say, where'd you lose it? To which the response is, if I knew where I lost it, it wouldn't be lost right now. I was preaching in South Georgia with a dear friend of mine was to be in the meeting with me down in the Okefenokee, middle of nowhere. Service started at 7. It got 7:10, 7:15, 7:20, and he wasn't there. And finally, I felt I had my phone on vibrate because I was worried about him. And my phone went off my pocket. I ran outside and I answered it. He said, I am lost. I said, can y'all guess? Where you at? Have you ever heard somebody look at the telephone? I can hear him looking at the telephone. And this is what he said. If I knew where I was, I wouldn't be lost. I believe that if we were able to talk to the author of Psalm 119, and he says, I have gone astray, I believe he would say to us, I don't know where I am. And I don't even know how I got here. And I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I am lost. I didn't do it on purpose. But I am in a mess. And I'm going to be real honest with you tonight. There are many times in this spiritual walk with Christ that I have found myself in this situation. Notice one day that I've got a cold heart and I don't even know how I got it. Sin that used to grieve me, now it doesn't bother me. The fire that used to burn, it's not even a good puff of smoke anymore. You sit in church and the Holy Ghost moves and worship fills the sanctuary and there's no pull, there's no stir, there's no drive, there's no joy. And I don't even know how it happened, but yet I know that it's happened. Anybody beside the preacher tonight? And it's a funny thing when you're in this condition. Brother Brian, everybody's got 7 steps to recovery. Everybody's got 9 keys to restoration. you know. 10 secrets to get back to where you're supposed to be. But you so lost, you don't know the secrets, you lost the keys, and the steps are nowhere to be seen. And everybody's advice, and everybody's information, and everybody's formula, and everybody's recipe, it is not much of a help when you're so lost you don't even know where you are, let alone how to get to where you're supposed to be. But I tell you what I like. Hallelujah. He says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. And then he says 3 words that change everything. Woo! He said, seek thy servant. Watch now. Here's what he's saying. Hallelujah. I cannot find you. I don't know how to get to you. I don't know where I am, let alone where you are. I don't know the trail back to the pasture. I don't know which valley takes me back to the fold. So I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to ask you to do what I cannot. Since I can't find you, I need you to come looking for me. Seek thy servant. And he said, I'm like a lost sheep. This is what he said. He said, I don't know where the shepherd is. I don't know where, hallelujah, I don't know where the flock is. I don't know where the pasture is. I don't know where the fold is. Bye. I can't find him. But I got an idea that if I call out to him, he'll come looking for me. And out on the edge of the wilderness somewhere, as the sun begins to sink, there's a little lost lamb. And somewhere on the edge of the green pasture in the still water, there is a shepherd. 97, 98, 99, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. And he'll put the 99 in the fold, and he'll go looking for the one little lost lamb. Thank God he'll walk the highway in the hedge. He'll walk the byway. He'll go down in the briar-infested valley. He'll go down in the sage. He'll go out into the cold of the night looking for that one little lost lamb. Oh, I'm glad tonight that when I cannot find him, he knows how to come looking for me. I like to coon hunt. That's a raccoon if you're from way up north. Somebody say amen. But I like to coon hunt, and I got hounds and I love it. Several years ago, my son and I was sitting at home watching a college football game on a Saturday night. It got to halftime, and I told my wife, I said, me and Dalton's going to get the hounds. We're going to go to the church. Our church is out in the country. I said, we're going to go down back behind the church, and we're going to cut them dogs loose on the creek. And they're going to tree, because they have every night this week. And we're going to tree, and we're going to be back here before the end of the third quarter. Halftime rolled around. We got the dogs. We got in the truck. We went to the church. We went down the power line, turned down a little dirt road, got them out, collared them up, put them on that creek. And I like a coon dog that likes to coon hunt. I want one pulling you to the woods. Amen. We got down there, unsnapped them dogs. They tore off in the woods down that creek. Got about 5 minutes in. I heard that little female dog of mine open up and said, "Ow, ow, ow." I told Dalton, I said, "It won't be long now. We may get back before the third quarter starts." Just a little bit, that big male dog opened up, "Ow, ow." And there they went. About that time, out of nowhere, a storm blew in. I'm talking about pouring rain, lightning, thunder. I grabbed my son. I said, "Get in the truck. I'm going to take you home. I'm not afraid of the storm, but your mama makes me nervous sometimes. I'm going to get you home. I'd rather deal with the storm than her." I took him home, dropped him off, came back. The weather had moved out, and those dogs were nowhere to be heard. Collars wasn't working, couldn't hear them, nowhere, nothing. That was on a Saturday night. I stayed out all night, Saturday night, looking for those dogs. I came to church the next morning, preached one of the greatest messages on depression you've ever heard in your life. I mean, it was amazing. I looked for those dogs Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Next Sunday morning, I came back to church, turned that message into a series on depression. It's twofold. It was really good. We come out of church Sunday morning. My wife said, "You going to find them dogs or you going to buy new dogs? Because I'm tired of hearing about these dogs." Came back to church on Sunday night. Preached. Got out of service. They were still praying and dismissing. I walked out on the front porch. And when the door closed behind me, I was going to shake hands and say goodbye to everybody on their way home. And when the door closed behind me, I heard off in the distance, "Oh, oh." I went in and got one of my men. I said, "Brother J.C., come here." I said, "Tell me what you hear, because I hear a hound dog, but I'm not a real good judge of that right now, because I've been hearing hound dogs at Walmart. I hear hound dogs in the shower. I hear hound dogs in my sleep, so I can't be trusted. What do you hear?" He said, "Preacher, that's a dog." I said, "What kind?" He said, "That's a hound." I jumped in my truck, suit, tie, white shirt, dress shoes. I took off up the driveway, down the road, took a left, took another right, shut the truck off in neutral, windows down, and I could hear old Cracker. There's that old male dog. I could hear him down there, "Ow, ow." I fired that truck up, went about another half mile, come to shut it off, rolling in neutral, window down, "Ow, ow." I pulled over, put that truck in park. I walked off down in them woods, and old Cracker was down there in a swamp bottom. I walked off in that swamp, dress shoes, suit pants, white shirt, tie, suit jacket, and there was my dogs down in that bottom. Old Cracker, normally when he says, "Oh, that means there's a coon in here." It did not mean there was a coon in here. What it meant was, "I'm hungry. Daddy, where you at?" That's what it meant that night. Them dogs were so skinny, honestly, you could see the joints in their tail. Just skin and bones. A little female was laid up. She couldn't even bark. She was laid up at the foot of a tree. And old Cracker was just running around and in there barking around her. I pulled that belt off and run it through his collar, and I reached down in that swamp and picked up that little female hound, and I come up out of that swamp bottom, mud dripping off of me, dripping off of them, suit, runt, shirt, runt, tie, runt. Got them up to that truck and dropped that tailgate and opened that box. And when I put them hounds in that dog box, I heard the Holy Ghost say, look at you. Look at you. Up for 8 days, listening, driving, hoping that you'd hear them hollering so you could go to them. Walk down there in your good Sunday suit and run everything you got on, not even think twice about it, for two old hounds. I heard the Holy Ghost down in my heart say, if you do that for a dog, how much more do you think I'd do that for you? When you get where you don't know where you are, where you don't know how to get back to where you ought to be, friend, you don't have to go looking for Him. You can sit down right where you are. Seek Thy servant! And friend, He'll come to where you are, and He'll take you to where He wants you to be.